Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Hello.
Lisa.
Exterminate.
Alex.
Hello.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and today we're watching Doctor Who. We're watching, what's the fourth Doctor?
Yes.
Tom Baker. Yes. And we're watching the episode Robot, which first one where he actually transitions into being Tom Baker.
Yep.
Does the reincarnation.
Oh, cool. Get to watch a transition episode. That's good.
I'm disappointed. I'm just going to say straight off the bat that you didn't start off with the Doctor Who theme. You do it with everything. You sing the theme. This time you were like, exterminate. Wow, how
I. And I was like, I don't even know if we're going to do a Dalek episode. I was just like, oh, what do I say?
You're better off with the theme tune. With the theme tune.
Well, I had Simpsons stuck in my head because we've just been talking about The Simpsons for the last 10 minutes. So.
You are excused.
Okay, so who has and hasn't seen Tom Baker? Angus, have you seen Tom Baker?
That
is a question.
That is an evil laugh, as I guess have been subjected to Tom Baker.
Subjected.
From early childhood, subjected.
I've seen all of Doctor Who. Not particular, but yeah, I've seen all of Doctor Who up until basically Peter Davison. I haven't seen much past Tom Baker's era. And I think there's like a couple of the later stories I've only ever seen the once sort of thing and never really revisited, but yeah.
Do you have a favourite Doctor?
And why is it Matt Smith?
I do like a lot of the current Doctors. I think they've all been good. Some of the story writing on some of them has been a bit more 50-50, but I do like the Doctors and the characters themselves for the most part. In terms of old Who, as a kid, I always liked John Pertwee.
Yeah.
He was the James Bond Doctor. He was running around karate chopping the bad guys.
Crush velvet.
Yeah. Oh, I love that coat. I'm not going to lie. And the car.
And he wants the shirt.
Yeah.
With the frills on.
All of the above. All of the above. I feel like, Tom Baker's definitely up there because he's got so many good episodes and he's such a brilliant character. I like Patrick Troughton, but there's not enough episodes that survived to really be able to love. So I think Tom Baker's probably at the top.
Baylor, have you watched Tom Baker before?
I've watched about 15 minutes of Tom Baker.
And you survived that far?
Well, I left the room, I think, or I changed the channel. We were at my grandma's house and my mum was like, oh, Tom Baker. And I'm like, this guy's boring. It's black and white. Put The Simpsons on, bro. Done with this. It was boring.
It was black and white.
I don't know. Yeah, it was black and white because my grandparents had a black and white TV.
So do you like any Doctor Who? Are you against all Doctor Who?
No, I like Doctor Who.
Doctor Who teapot over there, Justin.
Yeah, I think it's a great concept for a show and I genuinely do like a lot of the newer stuff. Well, I like some of the newer stuff and I do like the first Doctor as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're not as boring, slow. Yeah, they're not trying to be quirky. They just kind of exist, whereas Tom Baker was always described to me as this quirky guy with a really long neck scarf and gave jelly babies out to people. Like, what a crazy guy!
Talking about jelly babies, we've got to talk props. Right now we're surrounded by various things. We've got three TARDISes, four, five, plus a TARDIS towel, plus a paper TARDIS, TARDIS pepper shakers.
We've got about three magazines and about 20 books.
About 20 books. Little plastic Daleks.
Jeanette was basically dragging them off the bookshelf.
Today, Justin is dressed up
as Tom Baker.
And Jeanette is wearing a TARDIS dress.
And because it's a podcast, you'll never be able to prove that that's not the case.
If I only had it. Still was it blue? I don't wear blue.
Yeah. They used to sell a little Dalek dresses and things like this. Yeah.
They still
weird.
Do. And can still get make them. They're absolutely incredible cosplayers for Doctor Who fandom.
That's what I need.
Are amazing.
Chef's
kiss. In fact, there's a group of women that do kawaii doctors and they are amazing. They basically do like the little puffy dresses and stuff and they do an amazing job. They really do.
Yeah. Mackenzie, have you seen Doctor Who before?
You have. It's been a while.
Remember?
Which one of these doctors was your favourite? You remember any of them?
I bet she hasn't seen any old...
I know that one.
Yeah, she knows the girl doctor. She knows Whittaker.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember? McKenzie's probably seen old Doctor Who
and David Tennant. Yes, and David Tennant. Used to like him. Used to like him. Yeah. You told me when we were watching it originally, you said that Eccleston was your favourite, that one there.
Hmm?
Yeah, you don't even remember him now. But yeah.
What about Chinny? Everybody loves Chinny.
Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah, Matt Smith. Yes. I'm more of an Eccleston fan. Yeah, you're more of a Tennant fan, are you? Mm. Do you remember what you liked about Doctor Who?
He's not actually a doctor and you don't have to wait in a waiting room for 20 minutes.
He doesn't give you horrible medicine.
What did you like about Doctor Who? What do you remember?
Well, when I was little, I used to like the angel statues that whenever you...
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
What is wrong with you?
You weren't hiding behind the couch then.
No. My friend couldn't watch that episode, Blink.
Yeah, well, and I recommend that as a first episode. I'm like, if you want to get someone into it, that's a good first episode.
And then I saw it when I was this age and... I was terrified.
We are known for, like, we'll go to the garden centres and they'll have all the little cherubs and stuff and my husband will just go like, don't blink. It's a bit of a running joke with us.
Mackenzie, have you seen any old Doctor Who? Any of the older episodes? No? Before
You've seen
Eccleston?
Some with us, haven't you?
Yeah, I think
you might have seen some here.
I've seen a little bit with the girl one.
Oh, yeah, we did an episode where we watched the girl, the first episode of her. She watched the third Doctor one.
Magic Man.
Yeah.
But not the second Doctor one.
And I think she just chinned out.
Yeah.
Left the room for a
Lisa.
Bit. I've not seen any Tom Baker.
No Tom Baker. You've seen lots of other Doctors.
But I know he's kind of like the cliche Doctor that everyone talks about. But yeah, I kind of went back and watched some of the old stuff. I've watched all of the newer stuff, but... Yeah, probably I've watched McGann onwards and then the first Doctor, but yeah, never got to Tom Baker.
Who's your favourite Doctor?
My favourite? Probably Eccleston. I really liked Eccleston.
That's right, you mentioned that before.
Yeah. It was good. I really like Eccleston.
My favourite Doctor.
Everyone always goes crazy over Tennant. Tennant's great, but I think... No, not overrated, because he is great. But Eccleston was... He was my first Doctor.
See, I find it interesting. People say that there's, like, you've got your first Doctor and that's the one that you stick with. Mm-hmm. But I kind of disagree, because I moved on. I started with Tennant, but I love Matt Smith.
Okay.
He is my hands-down favourite of all the stories. Amy and Rory are the ones that actually make it for me.
They do.
Yeah.
Because Tennant has, like, so many iffy companions... Like, I think Donna was literally the best, and that's when I liked him the most.
Martha was actually good, but she...
I liked Martha.
Martha got done over heavily in stories and character writing. It wasn't great.
Yeah. I think her as an actress is the only thing that saved that. I think if other people had taken that role on...
It would have been terrible.
It could have been a complete disaster. Mm. She managed to do a lot more with it than, she salvaged that character because...
The character wasn't well written.
Yes. Yeah. They did her dirty, didn't they?
They really did her dirty,
but I just want to make people cry for a moment. Someone posted up a thing on Reddit, which was the Doctor goes back to see Donna as she's on her deathbed about to die, and he gives her all the memories.
I saw that on Reddit, and I
went,
no!
She was the most important person in the world for that moment, and she... dies on a deathbed. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I read that on Reddit and the feels that I got from that, I couldn't deal with that, so...
So I'll brush away a tear. Alex, have you seen Tom Baker before?
Technically, I mean, back for the 50th anniversary, the ABC put an eye of you a bunch of old serials, and I remember watching them, but I don't really remember that the plot lines or anything of that, because I don't... Remember that? So technically I have, but I don't really remember the distinctiveness of Tom Baker compared to all the other Doctors that they had up there. So, kinda.
Yeah. So do you have a favourite Doctor?
I don't have favourites of anything. I'm very bad at deciding favourites of anything, just because I'm not as decisive as everybody else.
Pick one and stick with it, Alex.
No. How dare you? No. I have a right to not make a decision. My decision is I'm not making a decision, so there.
You see, I have favourite episodes more than I have favourite Doctors, I think.
I think also... probably point more to companions as well. Like, for example, say, Donna, awesome companion. Mm. I have to say, Clara, not the best companion, unfortunately.
Thank you. High five. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
You knew between myself and Baylor that if you said any different, you'd be like, we'd be on you.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I liked Clara.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. I think
you're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was also, by the time, we're back when Clara was basically the main companion, it was like watching the show out of obligation more than actually enjoying it.
Mm.
just to see if it improved. And it did improve when she left and...
Bill.
Yeah. Bill was the best.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I totally feel like Clara is the Mary Sue.
100%.
Yeah. I hear of Mary Sue in that term and I'm like, I hate it so much because I like to put myself into the stories that I write. And then I'm like, but this makes sense for my character to be able to do this because of the way that they're built. But like just watching Clara, she feels so shoehorned into it. Mm. It feels like fan fiction that was just shoved into a couple of seasons of Doctor Who and you're like...
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to make her more magnanimous than the Doctor.
They tried to make her better than Donna.
Yeah.
But allowed her to keep that I'm better than Donna sort of vibe.
Yes. Mm. And the thing with Donna that made it so good was Donna became the most important person, but she was reluctant. It just kind of happened around her. It's not like...
She didn't have the ego. Whereas Clara has a bit of ego. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Clara is all ego.
All ego and nothing to back it up with.
Yeah.
Except for what the writers decide to shoehorn into the show. Mm.
You knew if you did this episode, you knew you were going to start Baylor and I on a rant about Clara.
It happens. It really does.
100%.
I think it happened the last one.
Jeanette.
Okay.
Tom Baker.
Yes. Well, this was my pick, so obviously. But Tom Baker was my doctor, so I started watching when I was about 15, and it was when my brother was home from uni, and he started watching, and it was the Terror of the Zygons, and that's when I actually got hooked. So I was late teens, mid-teens, when I got hooked on Doctor Who. And Sarah Jane and Tom Baker were my two. So, yes, I was a huge fan of Tom Baker throughout those years. And we watched it endlessly. And
You've been very patient because this is the fourth year and now we've got the fourth Doctor.
Yes.
And this one is...
This is the one I've really been wanting to do.
So you're planning on doing another fourth Doctor story as well later on in the year.
He did seven series.
Yeah,
he was the 7 years of Doctor Who. And he was the iconic Doctor. When most people think of old Doctor Who, they think of Tom Baker. The scarf. All the things that went with Tom Baker, they are the cliché Doctor Who.
Mm.
And because he was the Doctor for so long, I think his final stories got very weak, but there were some brilliant stories.
Mm. What about Celery Stick Man, though?
Not a big fan of Celery Stick Man. I think Peter Davison was probably one of the best actors to take the role, but he didn't. He acted it rather than being it. Tom Baker wasn't a great actor, but he was... totally himself in the role, I think. And that's what made it.
Okay.
He just had the personality for it. He loved it. He got very possessive about it and very, very depressed after he left.
Wow.
He basically had to rebuild his life because his life had become so centred around Doctor Who.
So it wasn't his choice to leave then?
No, he did, I think, leave from choice because he knew that he was too emotionally bound up with it and it was time to move on, that he'd probably outstayed.
That's heavy.
Plus he didn't. He wasn't enjoying where the show was going. He didn't like the new showrunner, and he didn't like
the new companion. And he was watching the effects department beginning to lose
skill
and things like that. Yeah, they were. They definitely were. If you look over the period of the thing, the...
It was getting a bit shaky set, was it?
Budget was...
No, I think budget was fine.
Budget was pretty high at that point. I think it was...
Budget was fine.
Some of the special effects went back to, like... Third Doctor level sort of thing?
Yeah, they did.
He didn't like the new companions.
Yeah.
He couldn't be in control of it, so
he got
to that point where he wanted to be in control and he couldn't be, and he realised that, actually, I'm just the actor. So I think he knew himself that.
According
to his book, he says he was way too possessive and bossy.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, he's the lead actor, but he has no control over the scripts. He has no control over the character development and the people he's working with and the people behind the scenes. It's
I totally think in certain instances that actors, like lead actors, should actually have a bit more say. And an example for this is not entirely Doctor Who, but Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. Yes. He came back to play Luke Skywalker, and so he started building up reasons why Luke is the way he is and why he's recluse and stuff. Mm. And the directors were just like, no, just leave it, read the lines, that's it, that's all we need you to do. Yeah. And that's sad. So, like, he might have been possessive, but at the same time, he's acting and playing that character and being that character. Being that,
he created that character.
Yeah. He runs the mile in those shoes. Yeah. So I think an actor should, especially in a TV show where you're long-standing and stuff.
Yeah.
It is a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Mm. Tom Baker definitely brings a lot to the role of the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think makes his tenure so rich.
I think that's what makes a lot of the newer Doctors really, really good as well, because they spent all this time watching.
Good actors.
Not just that.
Well, I was going to say just that Tom Baker didn't have anywhere near the acting experience that any of the new Doctors
have. No, he wasn't.
Before he started, before he was the Doctor, he was a bricklayer.
Oh, no way.
He was working on a building site, so he had been acting. Oh, he played Rasputin in Nicholas and Alexander.
Which is what got him this role.
He played an evil magician in the Golden Voyage of Sinbad. Plus, he was in the Canterbury Tales with Pier Pasolini, the famous Italian director, and he did stage work, and he was picked by Laurence Olivier to work in RSC. So he was an actor, but he was so down on his acting luck that at the time he got the role, he was working on a building site.
Okay.
So when he went back to the building site and told the other guys, they were all really, really excited that you know, one of their co-workers had just got the role of Dr.
And he was. I remember hearing him, it was a recording from a radio podcast that he was, or radio show that he was on, where he said that, he's going to miss the lads back at the building site.
He really enjoyed it. He said there was good camaraderie.
Well, Harrison Ford was a bit the same, wasn't he? He was a carpenter in between. So he would act a bit, and when he wasn't acting, he would be working as a carpenter and whatever. I think there was one story where he got a role and he got introduced to some of the cast members, and one of them went, oh, he did the fit out for my wardrobe. Like,
Amazing. So my first Doctor was Troughton, and I was the little kid watching it on black and white TV, hiding behind the couch while the Celestial Toy Maker was on.
Was he not the one with the Cybermen? The Tomb of the Cybermen?
Yeah. He was
boring.
Really. He was just a bit drier, I think.
He was a bit drier, but he had a bit of quirk. And
he did. Yeah, he would often go like skipping and playing the flute around the place and stuff, which, he knew how to play the flute, so they got him to play the flute.
Boring stuff. Flute players.
I wouldn't say, though, he was my Doctor. I would agree that Tom Baker is probably the best out of that whole period. In this episode, though, he's probably at his absolute quirkiest, because it's his regeneration episode, and so they portray him as being slightly mad, which is a tradition they've followed, by the way, through most of the...
Yeah, they all have a bit of a crazy first episode.
The third
episode.
Doctor
yeah.
did, like, a little bit of madness in the first episode after regenerating. Mm-hmm.
Tenth Doctor didn't.
Tenth Doctor didn't. No, he was just out
of
the entire...
He was asleep. Yeah, I was going to say, he spent the whole time
and then
asleep.
Showed up at the end and went, I do speeches now. And that
correct,
was it.
Yes, yes. He was a little...
It was a Lion King speech, to be honest with
you. Oh, big red button.
And we had the dinosaur episode, the dinosaur in the Thames.
With Capaldi.
Capaldi running around in his nightdress.
Nightdress. Victorian nightdress.
Smith was a fun first episode. Matt Smith had a
and so this is... This is that first episode, so he's at his absolute outside quirkiness, so Baylor will hate it.
I think with Matt Smith it was different, though, because he wasn't crazy in his first episode. He was actually more or less kind of sane throughout it all.
He was,
but I feel like because so many people doubted Matt Smith because of his age, they kind of had to go best
forward. They had to make him more mature.
They had to make him mature and, like, and start off
Matt
stronger.
Matt Smith always played old Doctor in a young body.
Yes. And that was always his thing, wasn't it?
I actually think that Matt Smith's progression was really fun to watch, because normally you see the Doctors go from like crazy to sad or like accepting what's about to happen. No, he goes from like serious to just, he is mentally unstable. This person has been through loss and pain and stuff, and he acts that heavily, so much
he has that heavy darkness to him.
It's ever so subtle, but at the same time, like, he could stand in a room with a light shining over his face for like one moment, and you're like, well, there's all the pain, and then it'll be like, hey, we're all good, we're all fine.
And in a way, found him better at doing that than Christopher Eccleston. Christopher Eccleston kind of always had that face to some degree.
He had that thousand-yard stare to him.
But Matt Smith didn't, and then very suddenly he just kind of turned it on and just...
It's like when you see a really nice person get sad or angry or experience another emotion that isn't friendly, and you're like, huh.
Yeah, it's more juxtaposing.
Yes.
It's one of those things, though. I didn't give Matt Smith enough credit until post-Doctor Who, but I think everything he's done has kind of gone from strength to strength. I'm trying to think of some of the... I know that he was fantastic in The Crown. He played a young Prince Philip, and he was just... Yeah. And you wouldn't even know, like, so completely different. I'm trying to think. There was something else I saw him in.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies as Mr. Collins.
Oh, so I haven't seen that.
Really good.
Oh,
no. Apparently he was the best thing about that thing.
He would be.
Oh, God. That wouldn't take much.
He's in the new Game of Thrones.
Yes,
I heard that.
Dragons.
Yes. Yeah.
See, I'd watch that, but it's Game of Thrones.
I know, I'm the same.
Okay, so I think we should get on and watch the episode. So this is Doctor Who, the fourth Doctor.
You've put some really high expectations on this, so I'm expecting.
This was released in 1974. Okay. 28th of December 1974, first showed in England.
Okay, so I'm with the robot.
Yes.
Doctor Who. Back after the break. Two. One.
Then Thunderbirds! Oh, no!
Don't join in their shenanigans. You're better than that.
You skipped the blast off. Everyone got the quote wrong, which is... No, it's 3, 2, 1... Blast off. Thunderbirds are good.
Oh.
I'm glad you misquoted it.
We're back from watching Doctor Who, the robot. In that episode, we saw Sarah Jane Smith, played by Elizabeth Sladen, and we saw Harry Sullivan.
Who goes on to become a companion.
After
he left Ian Marta, after he left Doctor Who, he went on to write a lot of the Doctor Who novelisations. Now, I've only got one of his here, but that one's written by Ian Marta.
The Ribos operation.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Afterwards, he, of course, had Leela with Louise Jameson, the robotic dog K-9, the time lady Romana, played by Mary Tam and Lala Ward, and the teen genius Adric, played by Matthew Waterhouse, alien teen aristocrat Nyssa, Sarah Sutton, and Australian flight attendant Tegan.
In the next Doctor
Who
episode.
I've heard that.
Fielding.
Yeah. Tegan's coming back.
Tegan's coming back.
Funny, really, because nobody really liked Tegan.
Tegan and Ace?
Ace was good. Was she? And Nyssa was one of the companions that Tom Baker refused to work with, so she was introduced in one episode, and she was meant to become a companion from that point on, but Tom Baker just went, no. No, and so she wasn't there for the next couple of episodes and wasn't a companion until the regeneration episode, the final Tom Baker episode.
She didn't return like the companion. Yeah.
She wore nothing but like pink, like frilly dresses sort of thing, and basically was going back to the second Doctor
screaming
companion sort of thing.
After
you know what, I'm on his side with that.
I didn't like
And of course, Tom Baker married Lala Ward.
I thought Lala Ward married
Richard Dawkins.
I was going to say, was it Douglas Adams or Richard Dawkins?
Rebound.
Yeah.
She was No, it wasn't on the rebound. She was good friends Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
So the next one I'm going to do is a Douglas Adams scripted story and one of the most popular of the, or probably the most popular of all the old Who stories with Lala Ward as companion. So we're doing that next.
Which one's that, though?
The City of Death.
City of Death, yes.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm. And that was sort of rigged. You got the vibe.
Not one of my favourites.
My pick. So that's sort of, I think, the high point of the old Who with Douglas Adams scripting. So, but the early Tom Baker series were all very strong, his early series of some really good classics. Some are slightly problematical, mm-hmm. looking back. Those classics.
Yeah, City of Death was the most popular. They had the highest viewership. So that's City of Death. Yeah.
This is the last story that features UNIT. They appear several more times, but this is the last story where they're sort of part of it.
Mm-hmm. So they can break away from UNIT now.
Yeah, they break away from UNIT now, which is probably a good thing, and they start to have more overseas stories.
Because Pertwee was stuck in the
universe stories.
Yeah, because Pertwee was kind of stuck in the now with UNIT, and that was that was a cost cutting thing, was it, or was it a
partly and partly creative choice? That's what they thought was going to appeal more to the audience or something. And be more relatable,
the spacey ones were too over the top for the audience, apparently. Yeah.
So, but as Pertwee did go on, he had more freedoms to explore other planets.
Some
of my favourite stories of his are on other worlds.
I think generally.
Monster of Peladon. Peladon stories were great.
They were. They had some very interesting ideas. And they were done. Quite often Doctor Who stories did reflect current events. So they were reflecting the England joining the EU back when they joined the European Union. And that was very much the theme of those Peladon stories.
They should do another Peladon episode now that they're now present. What happened? More to the point.
Oh, so Angus, what do you think of that episode?
Well, Robot isn't the best story.
No.
But watching just the first episode as kind of like an introduction to Tom Baker was quite a good idea. And Tom Baker's he's a good doctor. He's good fun, and his character did really shine through. I don't know what to really say. I've kind of, seen it all before 100 times over.
So what did you think, Baylor? Was it too over the top?
I don't normally say this to you guys, because you are canonically the worst story pickers and episode pickers I've ever met. But that was a really good pick. I actually liked him as the doctor. It was cool. He actually felt like a good doctor, and I can see why people like him. I might consider watching more as well.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So, there you go. That's what happens when you pick a good episode to introduce. This might happen with B5 one day, guys.
I refuse to believe that. Yeah. I've only watched one episode, and we recorded it over Discord, and there was just more questions than answers. It was just bizarre.
It's among us.
This is a move in the right direction.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was a great introduction to the character.
It really was.
It definitely displayed more of those things that people talk about Tom Baker. And it might be because I'm older now. But I genuinely think that this was a really good pick.
And I feel like it's important as well for people to be able to like the characters. Because if you don't like the characters, you're not going to watch something.
Yeah, that's what
and the
makes
problem
Dr.
with Babylon
Who 5
was is that the introduction that was there was it was a story introduction. And it was a good, strong story, but without knowledge of the characters, there was no real character introduction sort of thing, so it felt flat for everyone. But this story was shit. Robot is one of the worst episodes.
I didn't think that.
Yeah. It really is not good.
This is legitimately why I like first episodes of things, because you're not watching it for the story. You're watching it for the character. I want to know if I'm going to vibe with the character before I sit down and watch anything else.
Because that's what carries you into the story. It's because your character, it's your entry into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mackenzie, did you enjoy that episode? Did you watch much of it?
Not much. I did watch some.
You did watch some?
And what did you think of it?
It was funny.
Yeah. You liked the bit where he was changing. He was changing clothes all the time. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, nodding.
And what were some of the other bits that you liked or didn't like?
I liked when is like...
Did you like the robot? Is he the robot at the end there?
Yeah.
You're being purposely vague because you really did not watch much of that, did you?
So it didn't really capture your attention that much. It wasn't fast-moving enough, probably.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of it compared to the Doctor Who episodes that you've watched, like the newer ones?
Way more better.
It was better than the newer ones.
The new ones are way more better.
Oh, it was funnier than the newer ones.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. That's a cheat.
Interesting. I can totally see where Mackenzie's coming from, being a person that watched it a little bit older than you, but around that age point. I can totally see it.
Yeah.
And because I think, you know, the episodes got increasingly darker as well, and they had that, whereas that didn't tend to have that darkness that the new Doctor Who episodes have.
No, there's no darkness.
In some episodes, mostly Dalek episodes with Tom Baker.
Yeah. This episode doesn't, though.
I think Genesis of the Daleks. Certainly
Genesis of the Daleks is quite dark.
Yes.
Yeah, that's sort of the Nazis versus the Brits scenario. Yeah, yeah. And it's very dark. There's genocide happening and all sorts
of things. But I mean, that's Daleks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very much Daleks. Yeah.
So that was your first episode watching Tom Baker.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I thought it was interesting. I actually liked Sarah Jane Smith. I'd never seen, other than the newer episodes, and I never watched Sarah Jane Adventures. So it was interesting. I think she was sticking out more for me because I was like, I wonder what she's like. You know, I was curious to see how she... So was she Pertwee era and then...
Yes.
And then moved over. Yeah. So she was already kind of established, I guess, as well. But yeah, I really like... I mean, we always end up talking about how the female characters and the female sidekicks kind of progressed. And I'd heard that she was a lot more of a, you know, she was a journalist, she was hard-hitting, she was a lot more of a feminist character than some of the earlier ones. But, yeah, so I liked her.
Even then, they addressed the feminist.
She's crafty, isn't she?
Yeah, clever as well. Yeah. Like, she's piecing things together and definitely. Yeah.
And she just asked these, like, little questions and stuff, or she go, oh, can you just help me with this, or can I get a pass, and can I get a, you know, can you get my notebook for me, and people would oblige, but she always had this kind of like ulterior motive.
But
she
was
good.
Definitely her using herself to get what she wanted instead of her going, oh, help, I'm being touched by a random machine.
There is a one of my favourite moments,
which is the end of the episode.
Fails. Face there, could
there was a brilliant episode that's not long after this, before Harry Sullivan leaves, where she gets poisoned by a Cybermat, and so she's dying, and the Doctor saves her by teleporting her down to the planet and sends Harry Sullivan with her to just look after her. So he's holding Sarah Jane as she's basically nearly dead, sort of thing. Teleports down to the planet, but separates the poison from the body, separates the toxins in the teleporter, sort of thing.
Yeah,
love that Star Trek episode.
Yeah. So she arrives and kind of immediately comes to consciousness and realizes Harry is holding her and goes, what are you doing? Get off me.
Yeah.
And slaps him away and is just going, oh, some thanks that. Let me come down here to save your life with you.
He's like probably got old school military, very traditional. Yeah, yeah. And she's just like, yeah, get
He's
like,
very
let
proper
go of me.
And it's hilarious. Yeah. I found him an absolute brilliant character because he stuck out like a sore thumb no matter where he went.
He did.
Thing.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah,
and that's good. That works, you know, especially because she's very different as well. So that would have been a really good combination.
I was surprised at how upset I was when she died. When Elizabeth Sladen died, it really hit me, like losing a friend.
Yeah, she was right midway through Sarah Jane Adventure. Well, not midway, but
I really enjoyed.
But they were running Sarah Jane Adventures at the time.
Yeah, I've never watched it, but I've heard really good things about it. It's supposed to be really good.
It is aimed at a younger audience.
Yeah, so that's the type of show that you get into. Sarah Jane.
Yeah,
Sarah Jane was definitely the kind of show.
I just talked about Sarah Jane instead of the Doctor, but he was interesting, and it was interesting to see where that character starts, and I think it will be really interesting to see where he ends up when we do another episode with him.
Yeah,
it's worth seeing some of the better episodes, but it varies quite a lot, like most of the rest of Doctor Who. There's extremely bad episodes that are just awful, and there are really, really good episodes that are just amazing.
So it was the actress for Romana, I think. The first actress. Yes. So Romana is a Time Lord and so has a regeneration partway through, so they recast her, basically. And the first actress just didn't sit well. She wasn't...
No, she was very prim and proper.
Yeah, she was very prim and proper and not in the way that Harry kind of was, where the Doctor still had someone to bounce off of. Mm. They were just kind of in conflict the entire time and... Yeah,
I like how they've just gone like, well, we still really like the idea of this character, but I don't think she plays her properly, so let's just get her regenerated and get someone who we like better.
Yeah. And quite literally, those stories with that companion as well just did seem a little bit weaker.
Mm.
Yes,
I think those are the weakest of the stories. Yeah.
Alex, what did you think?
I think the same thing everybody else is thinking, because I'm an original like that.
No, we need to ask you earlier.
I think it's interesting to work out how much characterization, because this is just, it wasn't even most of the episode, it's like 15 minutes in the episode, and still trying to put as much characterization into what he's like in just that little moments, those few moments, and it was still, it's the Doctor, and it's quite distinctive in terms of what he's like being slightly silly, but still as intelligent and bright as anything else.
Had you seen Tom Baker before? Or?
I mentioned before, like, I watched ages ago, but yeah. I can't remember. So it's more his spin on it, and it feels like, he's playing out the silliness, but he still knows what he's doing.
Mm. Yes, under all the silliness.
Yes.
It totally feels like that. He's the iconic Doctor, and he definitely created the blueprint in the end, I think, for who the Doctor
very
is.
Very much.
Quite a lot, yes.
Yeah.
They've all got elements of that character where he will be playing the fool and silly, but there's so much going on underneath it. And he'll suddenly snap into it.
Yeah. And like every Doctor, I think, does that. They play the fun and silly and then they're like, aha, here's seriousness now and stuff.
And in a way, it probably sounds a little bit pompous, but it reminds me of the Shakespearean Fool. I remember hearing about it when I was in high school and, you would do Shakespeare plays and the Fool character was always a character that would speak the truth. And so they were always that silly character, but they always had that underlying compass.
Yes.
And I feel like the Doctor has that part of it as well. He's got that sensible head, like he knows his true north, but it's all wrapped up in silliness and riddles and cheeky grins and things like that. And so he really has that kind of, that part of him that I think needs to be essential for all Doctor characters.
I completely agree. But at the same time, imagine this. Richard Ayoade as the Doctor. None of that whatsoever. Just completely different. That would be amazing. Yeah. That would be such a different take. Instead of like another face with the same personality or a similar personality. Just something that I've enjoyed watching thus far is that everybody has a different take. But when you get to the newer Doctors, you always hear people go, well, you can totally see a bit of Tom Baker in David Tennant. And you can see a bit of this Doctor in David Tennant as well. And like totally in Capaldi, you can see Tom Baker written all the way through. 100%. And you can see a lot of other Doctors in the newer Doctors, and it'd be kind of cool to actually see someone create or bring a completely new perspective to it, which Ayoade would never, like, he doesn't fall into that sort of thing at all. He's very straight man, this is how it is, there is no...
Dry comedy.
Yeah, it's very dry, and I think that would be really fun to see, especially if you had, like, a quirky companion to juxtapose it.
I don't think I've ever seen...
yes, that is exactly what I'm thinking.
I don't think I've ever seen Ayoade with a... I can't pronounce his surname, I'm sorry, with a, like, a... darkness to him though, like, so I'd be interested to see how he would kind of take
doing that darkness either.
Yeah. I think he could do it quite well.
He could be too light, maybe.
He wrote The Double, which is an amazing film, and it becomes quite dark, and I think Ayoade would not focus so much on like that dark foreboding moment. It would just be dark in the things that he says, so he'd be a flat straight man sort of thing, and then he'd just come out with a quip that would just be dark, very similar to Angus's comedy.
The actor I thought would be perfect for the next Doctor end up getting cast as the Master, so I was really annoyed.
Is his name the one from Adventures in Space and Time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be brilliant.
The most recent Master.
I've forgotten his name.
He's good as the Master.
I've heard really good things about...
I thought he really had that combination. Which obviously they did too, which is why they cast him as the Master. Yes.
Henry Cavill, but he just bench presses the TARDIS.
We've just knocked off The Witcher and I am 100% here for that.
Joey Beatty.
Oh, I can't concentrate on anything goodness. I was saying now. I'm gone.
Sacha Dhawan.
Yes. Yeah. Before Capaldi came on board, one idea for a Doctor that I remember reading about and I can never get it out of my mind. Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is a Time Lord, everyone.
Oh, yes.
I'd love to see someone do Mary Poppins as, you know, I wish we could just get like 1960s Julia Andrews on board to play the Doctor, but, you know.
Although Missy, she was very Mary Poppins.
She was.
Yeah. One person I want to see on Doctor Who, and I don't care what role it is, because they've complained about it before. They've missed out on some of the big British films and TV shows. I want to see Sir Patrick Stewart in it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He sat on the couch with...
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen and was just going, oh, we weren't casting Harry Potter, but that's fine. Every other English actor was, but not us. And Ian McKellen went, well, I was cast in Doctor Who once. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, get out. he doesn't like the fact that he hasn't been asked yet, apparently.
It's more than time. Definitely.
Killing him. I want to see him.
So, Jeanette, what do you think? It's been a while since you've watched it last. Again, almost a month.
Yeah, it's almost a month. As I said, it's not a great story, but I think the characters are what make it. And Tom Baker and Sarah Jane, brilliant together. In fact, he was good with Leela. Louise Jamison and Tom Baker didn't get along at the time. They're really good friends now, and they've recorded some of the Big Finish stories together. But Leela was fun, and as a teenager, it was really good to see these strong women in different ways. But
that is the case.
Strong characters.
All of them were strong. Even the one that was in conflict, Romana, was still strong.
Yeah, she was definitely strong.
Yeah.
You'll note in this episode that there's a certain character that they do as the bad guy, and in this case, it's the sort of female bad guy, smart, governess style, evil.
It's always the director of the company.
Yeah, it's always the director of the company. And so in that, they even covered Sarah Jane making a sexist comment, being a bit sexist and assuming that the male was the company director,
which
when
is
she is.
Lovely, yes.
But that character has continued all the way through Doctor Who, that sort of female director.
You get male
sharply,
directors.
Sharply spoken.
You do get the male directors.
You do get the male directors too, but that particular character is definitely in there. Yeah.
The archetype.
The archetype is all the way through. I think Sarah Jane's adventure story.
Yes.
The one with the adipose.
Yes. Adipose.
Yes.
Not so much in the Moffat era.
No, not so much in the Moffat era.
And of course, RTD is returning to Doctor Who.
Which is weird.
I'm
very excited.
A lot of excitement on the.
Very excited.
A lot of excitement.
You heard me getting a bit disgruntled about Stephen Moffat towards the end there, and I would look back.
Definitely more of a Moffat fan.
Well, I think the best era was Russell T Davies, but Stephen Moffat's scripts.
Yeah.
In Russell T Davies' era.
His work was brilliant.
And I think once he went to showrunner, it was whether he lost his way or he spread himself too thin.
He was the person to actually do the entire show. So it was good in adding stuff to existing series, but giving him the entire series to work with,
it's too much.
Yes, it's too much, and he decided to have an entire plot line that doesn't actually work.
Yeah,
and Stephen Moffat scripted The Time Traveller's Wife TV adaptation, which is coming out this month.
I'm ready for that. I'm excited about that.
Yes, I am too. That's what he drew on with Riversong and the Doctor.
Of course.
And I should just mention that Tom Baker went on to play Bendu in the Star Wars
Rebels.
He voiced
Star Wars Rebels, yes. He was a giant monster that is embodiment of the Force.
Can you tell we made Jeanette and Justin watch it all?
That's literally how we did it too.
Yeah. They stood over us with big canes. And so, Angus, what do you rate the Doctor Who episode?
I keep on forgetting I need to do this.
Yeah.
I don't remember I'm
you got one job, Jane.
I would have thought the food was easy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, let's go with that then.
Okay.
The obvious choice for Tom Baker is naturally fish fingers and custard, right?
No.
Angus?
No, I'd go, it's a good old-fashioned jelly baby. Nothing quite like them. Yeah.
Honey, I can't eat them, so it doesn't kind of work for me.
Yeah, it works perfect.
We actually bought some jelly babies. But the jelly babies, of course, are the British ones, the English jelly babies that are entirely different than the ones in Australia. Yeah,
I like those better than the gummy ones.
Yes, me too. I always choke on the gummy ones.
Yeah, they can be a bit much sometimes. Yeah. That's nice. They're not as sickly sweet as well.
They're not vegetarian.
No, they're not vegetarians.
You didn't like them, Kenzie.
I liked it, but I didn't like it.
She preferred to drink chai tea.
Okay, so with that, we end another episode of Classic Cult TV Club. And that was Doctor Who, the robot.
And more Tom Baker to come.
And more Tom Baker to come. Yes. Say goodbye.
Bye.
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 Maybe.